Good fellowship with the Lord's people. Always good to come to God's house. David thought it was anyway. I think we ought to be in the same frame of mind, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I think we ought to be glad. Young people, you ought to be glad when Mom and Daddy said, "Hey, time to get out of that sack and get your clothes on. We're going to church tonight." And it ought to be that way. I hate to say it, but it's not always that way, but it should be that way. And it's not always been that way in my life. I wish I could say it was. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians in chapter number 1. Colossians in chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight, okay? Colossians in chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading in verse number 9 for the sake of time. I'd like to read in the entire, I'd like to at least read the first 17 verses, but I'll be short on these verses tonight because I won't be preaching directly from the majority of them, okay? So I want to begin reading in verse 9. Paul said, "For this cause," and the cause is because the Colossian church has revealed the fact in their lives that they have faith, that they've been to Calvary, they believe the gospel, and that they have borne fruit in their lives from the first day. Since they heard the gospel and believed it, fruit began to be manifest in their life. And it's for this cause that Paul said, "We also, since the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." I don't like to stop in the middle of a verse, in the middle of a sentence, but that is the middle of a sentence, and it goes a long way on. So I'm going to stop right there and pause and pray, and we're going to try to bring the message God's laid on our heart, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again tonight for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon our life, your goodness to us. I pray now that you'll speak to our hearts through thy word tonight. You said thy word is truth, and we're to be sanctified by it. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll open up our understanding, open up our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand the word of God and realize where we are in our relationship with you. Help us to walk according to the will of God in our lives. I do pray you'll bless the people tonight, bless those that are sick. Brother Andy in the hospital and others that are at home sick and have special needs in their life, bless them, I pray. I pray for that unction, that power, that grace, that liberty to preach your word tonight. Grant it to me, I pray. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything that is accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Our dear brother Paul is writing here to the church, to the Colossian church. And there in verse number 9, he mentions the fact that he's praying for them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is, that we ought to be wise. We ought to be wise knowing what the will of the Lord is. And that we ought to have some spiritual discernment, enough discernment to realize when we're in the will of the Lord and when we're out of the will of the Lord. And so, having said that, I want to preach for a little while tonight on that thought, on the will of God. Now, according to our text, only by knowing God's will can we walk worthy of the Lord and to please Him in our daily life. It says so in the following verse, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work. You know, and I think that we all ought not just to have some idea, but we ought to know precisely what God's will is for our life. It does matter. It makes a difference whether we're in the will of God or out of the will of God. Our Lord Himself said about Himself, He said, "I've come to do Thy will, O God. In Thy book it is written of me." And He came to do the will of God and did it and fulfilled God's will in His life. And you know, when God saved us, He didn't just save us and turn us loose. God had a purpose in mind for every one of us. When He saved us, He had a purpose in mind. That purpose is not the same. That plan that God has is not the same in every individual's life. It varies from individual to individual. He has a path that we're going to have to walk down. That path is not the same in every individual's life. For some, it's a pathway seemingly of ease and prosperity, while others, it's a life of suffering and sorrow and grief and trouble and trial. And it differs. And the reason it does is because God knows what's best for us all. God knows what it takes to for each one of us to be conformed to His image. And God is working that out in His life and will continue in our life, rather, and will continue to do so. But he says that we ought to know what the will of the Lord is, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and please Him in our daily life. And that word worthy simply means after a godly sort. That we ought to be able to know what the will of the Lord is, that we might live after a godly sort. In other words, you cannot live a holy life without knowing the will of God. It's an impossibility. God wants us to be godly people and to walk after a godly sort. And that can only be found in doing the perfect will of God. And by the way, there's not two wills for your life. There is not a perfect will. I'm going to say something in a minute. It's going to sound like I'm contradicting that, but I'm not. There's not a permissive will and a perfect will. There is a perfect will in your life. And I'll prove that by the Scripture here in just a little while. And God wants us in that absolutely perfect will, walking with Him and pleasing Him in our daily life. In fact, in verse number 10, we will walk worthy of our call and please the Lord. We then become fruitful, and Christian strength is added to our life. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to have Christian strength. And that can only happen in the will of God. You realize when you get outside the will of God that you're opening up the door for the devil's attack on your life and for great trouble to approach you. For instance, you young people that are in here tonight, God's got a will for who you marry. God's got a will for your life, for who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And you better make sure, I'm like Brother Messick said this morning, you better make sure the one you get's the right one. I personally believe it's one wife for life. That's it. That's the way I believe. That's the way I feel about it. And I know people have troubles, and people before they're saved they fall into these troubles, and they do get divorced. But that's not really the will of God. It's one wife for life. I don't think God brought two Eves and gave them to Adam. Only one's all I've ever read about in the Word of God. And so it's God wants you to marry the right person and the right man. And you young men, God wants you to have the right woman. I know a lot of young men that have gotten married and believing God called them into the ministry. And they married the wrong woman. And having done so, they lost, for some reason, that call to the ministry. And they're not anywhere serving God today. And it's because they got involved with the wrong woman. Most marriages when you're young is about 99% lust and about 1% love. But you better pray if you're saved, you've got an advantage on a lost person. You better pray and make sure that you're getting the right person for your life. I'm going to tell you, it can be miserable. Solomon said that it being married to a contentious woman is like a rainy day and a continual dropping. He said he'd rather be on a rooftop than he would be married to a brawling woman or a big mouth woman. And you can get the wrong woman. You can get the right woman. And you can get the wrong man, you can get the right man. You better make sure. There's only one way you can do, and that is to pray and seek God's face for God's will. And by the way, God does not want to hide His will from us. God wants us in His will as much as we want in God's will. And God wants to bless us in that will as much as we want God's blessings in that will. And if we'll find that will, there will be manifold blessings upon our life. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon us that we'll not have room to contain it all. And so God wants us to know the will of God, to become fruitful in our life. We'll bear fruit and we'll become strong. And you can't be strong outside the will of God. You're going to be weak. You're going to be vulnerable to the devil's attacks. You're going to be vulnerable to Satan, to the flesh, and to all sorts of sin. You know, that's why, like Brother Messing preached about the Internet this morning, I agree with him. I think it is the most vulgar thing that's ever been brought into this world. Brother, I'm telling you, you better be a strong-willed individual and have some strength about you, or you can get yourself caught up into some real problems on the Internet. Don't just have to be with pornography, it can be with a lot of other things as well. Now, to be without the knowledge of God's will would be like a captain of a ship starting out on a long voyage across the sea, and he doesn't have a chart, and he doesn't have a compass. Now, folks, I've been across both oceans, one of them by plane, and the other one by plane and by ship. And when I crossed the Atlantic Ocean by ship, I'm glad that captain of that ship had a compass, and I'm glad that he had a chart to follow. And I'm glad that that pilot that we took on around the White Cliffs of Dover had a chart that guided him through the English Channel, because at that time there were still German mines in that English Channel. And I'm glad that a captain of that ship had a chart to follow to get us across those waters, and had a compass to follow. And you know, you and I would be in a real pickle not knowing what the will of the Lord is. We'd be in the same pickle that captain would be in. He wouldn't know which way to turn the helm of that ship. You get out in the ocean, folks, there's no landmarks. There's no mile markers. There's no mountains to go by. There's a sun that comes up and goes down, and when it goes down, if you know your stars, you know, you can kind of go in a general direction. But I'm going to tell you, you can't go in a precise direction without having that compass and that chart. And so it is with the will of God. We can float around and drift around on life, say, if we want to, but God doesn't want us that way. God wants us in the will of God, the perfect will of God for our life, that His blessings might be upon us, that we might become fruitful, that we might live a godly life for His honor and His glory, and that we might please Him in everything that we do. And so God wants us to know what the will of the Lord is. It'd be like a builder. Not knowing the will of God would be like a man, like an architect, or like a man that started building a building without getting some kind of an architectural design on how that building is going to be built. Can you imagine a man starting out building the Twin Towers and not having any kind of an architectural guide to go by? He just started laying one block on top of another block and here and there scattering blocks. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to have a mess on his hand. There's a lot involved in it. And you may not understand this, but there is a lot involved in your Christian life. Much more than most of us realize. There's much more involved in God's will for our life than many of us realize. God's will, God's got a will for where you work. God's got a will for who you marry. God's got a will for where you live. God's got a will for what you do. Everything, God's got a will, I think, for what you own and what you drive. Amen. Chevrolets. Amen. And God's got a lot of other wills for your life that you ought to have. Amen. But God, there's a lot of wills that God has, I'm just telling you. A man trying to build a building without some kind of design, without some building plan, would be a foolish thing to do. And for you to try to live your life, a life that pleases God without knowing what God's plan is, would be an absolutely foolish task for you to undertake. It cannot be accomplished in a godly manner. You've got to know what the will of the Lord is. What if when I left Underwood, Indiana, I'd have told Miss Hall and my children, I said, well, I'm going to preach. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going somewhere to preach. Well, you got to know somewhere where you're going to preach. Well, I'm just going to preach. I'm moving. Well, where are you going to move to? I don't know. I'm just moving. Well, how do you know you're going to have a house when you get there? Well, I don't know, but I'm just moving. I'm just going. I'm going to tell you, God wants us to have, God is an orderly God. And God's will give us an order to live by. And that order is called the will of God. And He wants us in that will of God that we might be fruitful, that we might please God, and that we might be strong in the faith that God has given to each one of us, to you and I both. Now, in most occasions when we read the church epistles, when they speak of the will of God, they are in reference to the revealed will and not the secret will of God. There is a revealed will of God in this book. That's why I say it is important to get in the Bible, to understand the Bible, and let God reveal His will to you through the Bible. Now, some people said, well, I believe in the secret will of God. Well, there are some things that God talked to you and I about that I think that are so secret that we're not to share them with anybody. They're so sacred, they're so holy that we're not to share them with anybody. But most of the time, when the Bible talks about the will of God, it's God's revealed will. In other words, when God shows us something, and we just simply do not do it. When God reveals to us that it's right to tithe, and we don't do it, then we're out of the will of God. When God reveals to us that it's right to be faithful, like Brother Gray said, in the house of God, and we don't do it, we're out of the will of the Lord. You can say amen right there. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaches. Now I'm going to tell you, anything that you know that is right, that you do wrong, is out of the will of God, and it's going to cause you trouble somewhere down the road. You can say amen or oh me. If you know that it's wrong to watch television, you better get rid of it. And if you know it's wrong to have internet, you know it's wrong. And maybe we better get rid of it. I'm going to tell you, I prayed for a long time before I let it come in this radio station. But it come down to the point where it was either just about shut the station down or put it in here. And I had to make a decision, and I made that decision. And I've not really regretted it. We've reached a lot of people over the internet. But I want you to hear me well. The devil can take anything. The devil can take virtually anything. And turn it into a playhouse for our minds, and turn it into sin if we'll let Him do it. Amen. And you know why? You know why? Because the real problem, the bottom line, are you listening? Listen to what I'm telling you now. The bottom line of sin in our life, I don't care what it is. The bottom line of sin in our life is we've got a problem with the flesh. Amen. And if you cannot control the flesh, and all, I don't know too many people that can totally control it. Paul said he had to beat his body and keep it under. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, that tells me that the body is mighty wild if it has to be beaten to be kept under. The flesh is a wild and a vicious thing. And I don't know too many people that has the ability to keep their flesh under, ladies and gentlemen, not any of us. It's better for us to avoid those things that we know. I mean, shun those things that are sin, just like Joseph. Run from Potiphar's wife. We better run from that sin. If we know it's wrong and it's troubling us, we better run from it before it reaches out like a magnet and draws us in so deep that we can't get away from it. Now, I'm telling you, there are some sins that will drag you into it like a magnet and hold you there to the point that you cannot get away from it. Amen. Come on in the house now. So he's talking about the revealed will of God and not the secret will of God. He's talking about His authoritative will rather than His providential will. You know, there is some things that we live by providence. There are some things that happen in our life that we have no control over. Now you can say amen if you want. I mean, back when they had the draft, there was boys getting drafted going to Vietnam. They didn't have no say-so about it. Unless they wanted to be a coward, and like some of these fellows has become conscientious objectors, you know. It's awful strange they wasn't conscientious objectors until they got drafted. When they got called to draft, they become a religious conscientious objector so they wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. One of them's a boxer that lives over in Louisville now, and I not talking about the man. I'm just simply saying he's one of them. And well, there's a lot of other reasons as well. But he's talking about God's authoritative will, God's authority over you and I. And by the way, he does have authority over us. That the fact, what he's referring to is the fact that we're unwilling to bow to the authority and the lordship of God Almighty. There ain't not many people really that are want to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God presently, that they might be exalted in due time. Amen. And God will. If we'll humble ourselves now, God will exalt us. But I'm going to tell you, if we try to lift ourselves up, God knows how to humble us. God knows how to humble us real quick. Amen. Knows us how to cow. He knows how to make us cow down and look up like, you know, like looking up like this. Knowing sometimes when the preacher's preaching, you see folks looking out, you know you got them. I'm not going to say where. You know you got them. When you're preaching, all right? And so he's talking about God's authoritative will rather than a providential will. His will made known to us is in the Scriptures. Now, I can't say that enough. You'll find everything you need to lead you through life in the will of God. Now, it may not specifically come right out and give you a name of a young man or a young woman you're supposed to marry. Or it may not come right out and tell you where you're to attend church. Or it may not come right out and tell you where you're supposed to live. But I'll tell you what it will do. Brother, I'll tell you, that word will reveal to you in your heart where you're to do, where all these things are, how all these things are to take place in your life. And it comes by one little word, a word called peace. God will give you peace about everything in your life. Peace is one of the governing factors in your life. If you're disturbed in your heart about something you're getting ready to do or doing, probably it's not God's will to do it. Amen. If God gives you peace, then it's probably God's will for you to do that, all right. Okay, let's go on. Now, this knowledge can only be had through regeneration. The natural man is void of God's will. The natural man, hey, a lost man knows nothing at all about the will of God. Not one thing. Not one. He can't. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he know them because they are foolishness unto him. The lost man don't know anything about the will of God. They'll smirk at you and laugh and grin and smile and one thing and another like some other fellow did the other night. That I know of, when you're trying to tell them the truth. And the reason is that they're lost and they don't understand how important the will of God is in their life and what role that it plays in their life. Now, the knowledge, his will is made known in the Scriptures, and this knowledge can only be had through regeneration. The natural man is void of God's will. Get this now, as lost man, his will is directed by his own life. By his own life. In other words, self-will. There's God's will and there's self-will. And you better be careful even as a born-again child of God, because there's times you can get involved in self-will. I can name you some names. I don't have time to go there because I ain't got to the message yet. But I can name you some names in the Scriptures of some men that were very self-willed, and it cost them down the road. We were sitting in the office earlier just talking about some things, and we brought up the role, you know, that how a wrong woman or a woman can play roles in men's life to cause them trouble. Ladies, I love you. Don't get mad at me. But it was Eve that told Adam, said, eat. And it was women that was Samson's problem. And it was women that was Solomon's problem. And it was women that was Samson's problem. Somebody said a woman got the strongest and the wisest and the most powerful men in all the Bible was women. And so what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying that self-will can get you. That wasn't the will of God. Somebody said, well, they had multiple wives in the Old Testament. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think that was the will of God.
Amen.
I don't believe it was the will. God don't change His mind. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Now, if it was all God's will for Samson or Solomon to have have 1,000 wives or 300 wives and 700 combines, I mean, it's all would be all right. It's not all right today. It wasn't all right then. It wasn't all right for David to have multiple wives. It wasn't all right for Samson or any of the others to have multiple wives. I believe God wants us to have one wife. I believe it always has been that way. It always will be that way. God have mercy. That's right. We need to wake up. And eventually it got every one of those men in serious trouble with God. Solomon is the very one that looked at it all and tried everything in life. Everything. The wisest man in the Bible tried everything under the sun. You know what he wound up saying? It's vanity.
Amen.
It is all vanity. It's vain. It amounts to that. You know what? Hey, do you know what really matters? What matters is knowing the will of God and living in the will of God and letting God love us like He wants to. Hey, us being obedient to Him like we're supposed to be and letting God bless us like God wants to bless us. Amen. And then He will take care of us regardless of what comes. God will take care of us. Better believe He will. Even if He has to spank our rear ends to do it, He'll do it. Brother Message talking about chastisement this morning. Somebody said, a lot of people are ashamed of chastisement. Why? That is one of the best signs in the Bible that you're a child of God.
That's right.
The Bible says if you be without chastisement, we're of all partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. I mean, that's one of the signs, the evidence that you're a child of God is God's chastisement in your life.
Amen. Right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God loves us and God chastens us. Hey, you're not going. Hey, you're not. And by the way, you're not going to get far out of God's will till God will take hold of you. One way or the other, God will start out gently, ladies and gentlemen. But He knows how to apply the pressure. That's right. Can I tell you a story? Me and old Bill Stotts, I'm telling you, we, up there at Brother Nolan's, I first started going to Bible Baptist. I mean, me and Brother Stotts was the best of friends. And man, I mean, we was always going around and our motto was, pour it on us, Lord, we can take it. Pour it on, just pour it on, let it happen. Brother, he put old Bill down. Brother Bill down in, I mean, I'm just telling you now, he lost everything that he had, everything. Owned a business, home, he lost it all. Wound up living in a little apartment down in Clarksville, Indiana, called Bono Village. That's right. And God sent me to Tucson, Arizona, near 120 degrees, and I'm so low. Oh, I thought I wanted to go, God allowed me to go, and God allowed me to start a church. But I'm going to tell you something. I was the lonesomest man in all. God tanned the seat of my breath. He said, do you like Kentucky?
Amen.
Now, you don't believe that, do you? When I was called to preach, God said, you go to a land that I'll show you and I'll bless you there. If you go to a land that I'll show you, you know where He sent me?
Amen.
Rumsey, Kentucky.
Amen.
You know where He brought me back to? About 10 or 12 miles from there to Madisonville.
Amen.
When I got so tired of Arizona, God said, do you like Kentucky now? I said, Lord, I believe Kentucky is a pretty nice place. Homesick. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm Danny Boy. God put old Brother Bill. And I don't say pour it on me, Lord, anymore.
Amen.
I was there in the bathroom this morning getting dressed. And I was thinking about my Brother Bill. And I said, and I've said it, and I know why she said it, because I've made this statement a lot of times lately. I said, boy, I sure would like to see old Bill. And Miss Hall said, you know something? She said, God knows how to get you there. And I said, well, God knows my heart and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God knows I'm not in any way implying that I want to die in order to see my brother. But she's making a good point. Well, I sure would like to see him. Well, God knows how to get you there. I sure would like to do this. God knows how to get you there. You may get something you want and not want it after you get it.
Right.
Israel wanted Saul, but they didn't want Saul after they got Saul.
Amen.
And there's a lot of things in life that we want that's not in the will of God that we find out we don't want it after we get it.
Amen.
That's right. Come on in the house now. Look here. A lost man, natural man, is void of God's will and is directed by self-will or satanic suggestions. You realize that old Satan can make some real suggestions to people. Won't you do this? Try this. Take this step. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, how's it? And he the one that told Eve and said, oh, go on and take a bite. God just knows the day you eat that, but it'll make you wise like He is. It'll make you a God like He is. Go on, eat that.
Right.
Well, God said, if I eat it, I'll die. Oh, come on. You know you're not going to really die. I'm telling you, and she fell for it, ladies and gentlemen. Satanic suggestions will get you. You better be careful. When it comes to the will of God, God told them, don't do that. And they done that, and it cost them. And out of the will of God will cost you or cost me or anybody else that gets out of it. It's going to cost us somewhere down the line more than what we're willing to pay back for it. It's going to cost us.
Yes, sir.
It's going to cost us. Yes, sir. Now, I want you to please notice also that this knowledge is a gradual thing. Paul said in verse number 9, that we are to be filled with that knowledge. I don't know nothing that's filled instantaneously. Especially your gas tank. You used to walk up to you, put the nozzle down in the tank, and about 4 gallons later, $4 later, it was full. Because it was about 18 or 19 cents a gallon. But I'm going to tell you, I walked up to it the other day, stuck a nozzle in it. When I walked away, it was $92. And it didn't get filled up instantaneously. It took a few minutes to get it full. What am I saying? You're not going to get filled with the knowledge of God overnight. It takes a little while on your knees and a little time in the Word of God. We're filled gradually with knowledge. When a child enrolls in school and starts school, you don't put a 4-year-old kindergarten student in the 12th grade of high school. They'd be confused and lost and wouldn't understand anything. They got to start out down here. And what? They go from grade to grade to grade to grade. Why? They are gradually filled with knowledge from their books. Now I'm telling you, as a child of God, we are gradually filled with knowledge from this Bible. Wisdom comes from above, directly from God. But I'm telling you that knowledge comes not only from the Bible, but from good, healthy book reading.
Amen.
I'm not opposed to reading good spiritual books, commentaries, and biographies and autobiographies of great men of God. I'm not against reading that. It'll help you.
Amen.
It'll help you. It'll fill you. It'll give you some knowledge that you don't have. But you're not going to get that overnight. When I first, after I went to Bible college, Miss Hall found me a couple of books, one by Basil Maloff and one by about Robert Jaffrey. And they were both missionaries. Basil Maloff was a Russian. A priest in Russia. They sentenced him to Siberia. They put him in Siberia. Robert Jaffrey was down in the Indies was there when World War II started. And died on a cot in a Japanese prison camp. But now, look here. Those men went there in the will of God. And I didn't know bats about who they were. But I read those books and I got stirred about missions. I thought, Lord, if these men can go themselves and do this kind of a work, then surely, and you've got, hey, surely the way this is spoken to my heart, surely it's in the Bible. And you know what? I turned to Acts 13 one day and just as big as life there it was. The church at Antioch, hey, the Holy Ghost said, hey, send out Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do. They laid hands on them as a church and sent them out on their missionary journeys to what? To preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the missions. And I'm going to tell you, and I found out those books agreed with what was in the Bible. I knew I had a real treasure. And a preacher coming 3 times told me in there in that office one day he was going to take that book home with him. And I told him 3 times he wasn't taking that book home with him. Start with Miss Hall bought it, and they don't nobody get anything she buys me. I told them people over there cleaning the house every day, I said, you be careful what you're doing up here. I said, I don't even throw my wife's hair away. That woman in there cleaning it. She looked at me like I was a moron. I'm the biggest sentimental idiot in the world. But I'm simply saying, the things come gradual, folks. When I started reading those mission books, I realized God's in missions. Amen. And God's just as much in missions today as He was back then. Amen. It's the heartbeat of the church. Who had ever dreamed that a little church this size would be supporting as many missionaries as we've got for the amount of money that we support them every month? And hey, amen, it doesn't come out of the general fund. It comes out of your pocket extra.
Amen.
How are we doing that? There's only one way I know. Missions is the will of God.
Amen.
And we're practicing the will of God for this church. And as long as I stay here, I'm going to continue practicing the will of God for this church. And that is sending out the word of truth. Sending out light and truth that it might lead sinners to God's holy hill, to God's mountain, that is to Calvary, where they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Where they might put their faith in something besides this world that will drag them to hell, but rather put their faith in Christ that will ultimately take them to heaven by His marvelous, wonderful grace. Bless His holy name. I want to bless Him and thank Him for that tonight. Amen. Now, young Christians who lack this knowledge are very prone to make mistakes. Young people, I hate to tell you, but you are. When you're a young Christian, you can make a mistake real easy. But you know something? God knows that. God's not going to beat you to death for making a mistake in your life. He's not going to kill you. He knows that you don't know everything. You get in trouble when you think you know everything. If you just admit that you don't know anything and throw yourself at God's mercy, you'll get along a whole lot better in God's will. And you'll be able to find it a whole lot better. If you just tell God, I don't know anything. It's like a little monk used to tell us. She'd look up and she'd say, I don't know nothing. I'm a bum. I mean, Benny taught her to say that. That's what he said. But it's a lot of truth to it. We don't know as near as much as what we think we do. Hey, and we just admit to God. I mean, brother, I don't even much digested this yet. If you ain't digested all this, we don't know a whole lot about God yet. And I've never digested all this book. And when I pray, I'm certainly not going to get on my knees and say, Lord, Lord, here's old Dr. Hall, the man that knows it all, calling at your door one more time. I don't do that. Man, be a fool to do that. Lord, here I am again. And you know my need. And I don't know much. But you said if I'd ask, I'd receive. If I'd call, you'd answer. If I'd knock, the door would be open to me. You told me if I'd call unto you, you'd answer me and show me great and mighty things that I know not of. So I'm calling. I don't know anything. But I'm calling, Lord. And I'm asking you to answer. That's right. And young Christians they don't know much. Life as a natural man in his youth is full of vigor and hope, and his inexperience can rush him into engagements for which he is unqualified, and is forward to rashly for young Christians who get on fire for God. They got a lot of affection. They got a lot of zeal. They attempt tasks for which they're not fitted to do. And young Christians can do that. They try to get involved in things that they're not qualified to do because they're not filled with that knowledge yet. Now, three things real quickly, and I'm going to close. I'll just read them, okay? There's proving the will of God. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Can I ask you one question? Who are we proving that to?
We're not proving God's will to our life to God. God knows His will for our life. We're not necessarily proving God's will for those around us. It really doesn't matter whether they believe we're in God's will or not. But who Paul is talking about here, that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, is proving it to us. Because if we can ourselves have confidence and assurance that we're in the will of God, I'm going to tell you, let come what may, friend, we can stand there on the eternal rock of ages knowing that standing there in the will of God, that we're like a giant oak tree that shall not be moved.
Amen.
That's right. We need to prove that to us. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y,
amen,
unto God. And that's a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, or acceptable and perfect will of God. Proving the will of God, avoid everything that is grievous to God. In order to do that, cultivate a sense of His presence. Avoid everything that grieves God. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to avoid everything. Everything. Avoid everything that is grievous to Him, and have a real sense of the presence of God. We do so many things and don't even realize that God's watching us, or God's around, or God sees. We do things in our life and nobody saw that. I'm going to tell you, God's eyes run to and fro on the earth, beholding both the good and the evil.
That's right.
God sees. God sees. We better cultivate a sense of His presence, because He's here. He's here, He's there, He's everywhere. If you ascend into heaven, He's there. If you make your bed in hell, He's there too. You can't get away from God.
That's right.
So you want to prove what the will of God is, you better avoid sin and have a sense of the presence of God in your life. And if you have a sense of the presence of God in your life, you'll avoid sin. You'll hear a little voice in there say, not right, back off. Also, be diligent in choosing those things which God esteems. Solomon in 1 Kings 3:10, he asked for understanding heart, and it pleased God. It pleased God. Be wholehearted in your devotedness to the Lord. Don't do anything half-hearted. Be wholehearted and devoted to God. Meditate in God's law day and night. Stay in this book. Keep it before you. Meditate in it. Think about it. Memorize Scripture. Hide it in your heart. Maintain a steady dependence upon the Lord, for you have no strength of your own. And be frequent. Go frequent to the throne of God's grace. Stay on your knees in prayer and frequent His throne. Number two, practice in the will of God. Luke 22:42. The Lord Himself said, Father, Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And God's will was that He drank the cup of sin, then go to Calvary and die for you and I. And He did that. He did that. Then you better figure out the cost. There's a cost. It's going to cost you something to live in the will of God, especially today. It's not easy. There's trouble on every hand. There's something tugging at your heart and your mind virtually every minute of the day. And I was telling the fellows in the office, the devil didn't just creep into our homes the way he is now at the snap of a finger. He's talking about sin and how readily available it's been made to us inside our own home. And here's the thing. When I was a boy growing up, I didn't even have a radio. You know what? We played Riddle, Riddle, Marie. I see something that you don't see. We played Hide the Thimble. We played simple things like that. There was no radio. Grandpa had a radio, and he got tormented so much, I think he finally threw his away. And boy, just take that pine rosin and squeak it down them old antenna wires, and he's had him in a headphone. That's another story, poor old Grandpa. You cursed infernal boys. But then along came the radio. Then along came television. Then along came internet. And I'm wondering what is going to come next in the world from the world to pollute the home, to tug on our hearts, to lead us away from God. And you can say what you want to say. Everything that I just stood here and mentioned, though, and let me add into that the telephone. There, we got to have them. Now, I mean, we've got to have telephones in this society. What I'm saying is it's just things that have been put there that the devil uses to drag us away from God. All of it. Radio, telephone, television, internet, and I'm wondering what's coming next. I really am. I'd say the television will soon be an obsolete thing. They'll have it all right on the internet. They will. There's a cost and a consideration. Consider what we would have lost if Jesus had missed the will of God. If Jesus missed the will of God, we'd have lost it all. And I'm going to tell you, buddy, you better consider missing the will of God for your life too. There's a payday coming for it. It'll cost you something. It'll cost you something. Then presenting God's will. Somebody said, what are you talking about presenting God's will? Presenting it to sinners. Telling sinners about God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. Presenting God's will in His service. That is being fruitful in every good word, every deed, every occupation. Being fruitful in it. That's God's will for our life. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you in God's will? Or out of God's will? Let's stand together.